محمد وآل محمد صلوات.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته ورضعت عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد الفتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعدها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: من أخلص لله 40 صباحا جرت ينابيع الحكمة من قلبه على لسانه. صلوات. In the light of this hadith of the Holy Prophet, we have been discussing the practical tips from our great Urafa about the Tazkiyatun Nafs, and I was talking about the Husnul Khulq in the previous lecture, and the fact that in the hadith of the Holy Prophet, the most resembling person is considered, the most resembling person, he said, among you is the one who has the best of the akhlaq. So the most resembling person towards Rasulullah is not the person who recites the Quran more than others, or performs the prayers more than others, or gives the sadaqah more than others, which are all very nice acts in Islam. But this does not make us the most mushabih and resembling person to Rasulullah. What makes us the most resembling is akhlaq. The most significant attribute in his profile, although all the sifat of Rasulullah are great, but that is the only sifat and attribute that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran talks about the Holy Prophet with this. When talking about the akhlaq and morals of Rasulullah, he uses the word azim. Innaka la'ala khuluqin azim. Although every sifat of Rasulullah is azim, but the only sifat in the Holy Quran which is mentioned with the sifat of azim, with the adjective of azim, is his morals. So it is very important to pay attention in Islam about the morality. And I mentioned to you in that lecture that it starts, obviously when we are interacting with our fellow mu'min brothers, we need to have husnul dhann towards each other and keep away from su'u dhann. In ba'dha dhanni ismun, Quran says some of the guman and dhann is ism. So we have to be very particular and Allama al-Naraqi rahmatullahi alayh in his book says that the reason that su'u dhann is always from shaitan is from the ilqa of shaitan. Shaitan drops the idea in the mind of a person. Whenever a person has su'u dhann, he must understand this idea is coming from shaitan, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who knows about the batin and sara'ir of the people. Since the batin and sara'ir are known by Allah, so obviously our responsibility as a mu'min towards our fellow mu'min brothers will continue to have good thoughts about our fellow mu'mins, unless you have an alamat and sign that, you know, obviously bil wuduh you find somebody has done a wrong. You have yaqeen. And then obviously it's different. But unless you have 100% concrete dalil in your hand that somebody has done a wrong, our fariza will remain that we continue to have husnul dhann towards our fellow mu'min brothers. So basically, if you recall, I told you that tafakkur and zikr and khudu and tabattul and khushu, these were things that were mentioned in the practical tips as we were discussing the practical tips on the tazkiyat al-nafs. That means tabattul means buridan. In Farsi we say breaking away. So wazkur rabbaka, remember your Lord. Watabattal ilayhi tabdeela, Quran says. That means you completely break away towards Him. Breaking away towards Allah. So we have what is required in if a person wants to do the zikr of Allah, we need to break away from everything which is ghayrullah, everything which is other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that the zikr of Allah is basically established in the qalb, which is the essence of the whole concept of zikr. Zikr al-lisani is extremely important as well. You know, if you remember Allah through your tongue, this is very good. This is also thawab. This is one of the great blessings of Allah, that if a person has zikrun lisani, he constantly remembers Allah. And our scholars of akhlaq say zikrun lisani is not the only hadaf. It is a muqaddima. We hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we engage ourselves in zikrun lisani, we hope and pray that Allah takes us from the level of zikr al-lisani towards zikr al-qalbi. So zikr al-lisani is a muqaddima towards reaching the level of zikr al-qalbi. That means remembering Allah with the heart. Zikr is considered to be bigger than salah. Isn't that right? The ayat of Quran says, وَلَا ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. Although there is a huge discussion, and inshallah probably in the next lecture, if time permits, I will talk about a little bit in the tafsir of that ayat and some of the different aqwal and statements of mufassireen who have different views on this ayat. But yes, zahiran, that's what Allah has said. Wala dhikrullahi akbar. In Surah Al-Ankabut, ayat number 45, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala considers the zikr, His zikr, to be superior, bigger than the salat. So salat is the amud al-deen, is the pillar of the religion. The zikr is considered to be bigger than the salat. Zikr is considered to be the first wasila of tazkiyatun nafs in ilm al-akhlaq. When our scholars talk about the process of tazkiyatun nafs, they say the step number one is zikr. That means toward the taqarrub and qurb of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first step is that we break away from ghairullah. Zikr means remembrance of Allah. Remembrance of Allah will happen when you get out of the marhala and the stage of ghaflat. What is the marhala and stage of ghaflat? Marhala and stage of ghaflat is that we are attached to ghairullah. So we need to break away from ghairullah. This is how we get out of ghaflat. And when we break away from ghairullah and we get out from ghaflat, we will basically prepare ourselves to have the zikr and remembrance and yad of Allah established. And this is going to make the qalb nurani and munawwar. So basically, zikr is considered to be the ruh of all the ibadah. Every ibadat's ruh and essence is considered to be the zikr and remembrance of Allah. Remember, a person who is praying or fasting or going for hajj, but in the qalb he has no fear of Allah. So he does not feel the presence that he is in the huzur and mahdar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the benefit of this prayer? Obviously, without the khushu, none of the prayers are accepted. Without the fear of Allah in the qalb, none of the a'mal. Without taqwa, none of the a'mal are accepted. إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. So basically, our scholars have mentioned that zikr is the ruh of all the ibadat, and one of the ahdaf of the tashri'ul ibadah. That means one of the reasons why all the ibadat in Islam are legislated by Allah. Tashri'ul ibadat means Allah made this ibadat to be, a law to be applicable on us. One of the reasons why all the worships are legislated for us is that we end up getting out of ghaflat and end up becoming zakir, remembering Allah. This is the hadaf of tashri' of all the ibadat. Now let's turn to some of the ayat of Quran in Surah Al-Ahzab, verse 41. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, اذكروا الله ذكرا كثيرا. O you who believe, remember Allah a lot. Now, in the next verse from Surah Ali Imran, verse 191, الذين يذكرون الله قياما وقعودا وعلى جنوبهم. Those who remember Allah in the state of standing and sitting and on when they are sleeping on their sides. وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا سُبْحَانَكَ فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. O our Lord, and they think about the creation, and those people think about the creation of heavens and earth, and heavens and earth. O our Lord, you did not create this batil as batil and useless. Glorified be you. فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. That means keep us away from the punishment of the fire. That's what we learn in the light of this verse from Surah Ali Imran. And also in Surah Al-A'la, verse 15, Allah mentions the zikr again. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. Certainly the one who basically has the cleanliness and taharat and tazkiyah and is purified, is the one who is pure, is the one who got succeeded. وَذَكَرَ اسْمَ رَبِّهِ فَصَلَّى. And remembered the name of his Lord and prayed. So again, the zikr of Allah is mentioned. Now we find in another verse from Surah Al-Insan, Surah Al-Dahr, وَذْكُرْ اسْمَ رَبَّكَ بُكْرَةً وَأَصِيلًا. This verse of Holy Quran says that remember the name of your Lord in the morning and the evening. So basically, we are supposed to remember Allah in the mornings and the evenings. Also in Surah Ali Imran, verse 41, Allah says, وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ كَثِيرًا وَسَبِّحْ بِالْعَشِيِّ وَالْأَبْكَارِ. Remember your Lord a lot and glorify Him in the morning and the night. So we are supposed to glorify, do the tasbih of Allah in the mornings and the nights. That's what we understand in the light of this verse. فَإِذَا قَضَيْتُمُ الصَّلَاةَ فَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ. When you do prayers, remember Allah in the standing state and the sitting state, and when you are basically sleeping, at the time of sleep. Now, let's go to the hadith from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. This is from Wasail al-Shia, volume 4. He says that man akthara dhikra Allah azza wa jal adallahu Allah fi jannatihi. Whoever has a lot of dhikr of Allah, Allah will give him a place under the shadow of His paradise. And also Imam alayhi salam says, wa akthiru dhikra Allah mastata'tum fi kulli sa'atin min sa'atil layl wal nahar. Remember Allah a lot, as much as you can. Mastata'tum fi kulli sa'atin, in all the times, from the times of the night and the day. In sa'atil layl wal nahar, in the dua kumail that we just recited, Amir Mami alayhi salam also says that أَوْقَاتِي فِي اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ بِذِكْرِكَ مَعْمُورًا. Isn't that right? That means you fill up my times of the day and night with your... fill the times of my day and night with your remembrance. That means the whole times of the day and night are supposed to be, in Islam, are supposed to be filled up with the zikr of Allah. That does not at all collide with the concept of doing our going for job or driving or going for shopping. These are all zikr of Allah. As long as we are doing within the limits of the Sharia, when we go for shopping, when we talk to people, when we are interacting with our fellow brothers and sisters, mu'min brothers, Muslim brothers or non-Muslims who are nazirun laka fil khalq, they are similar to us in humanity. So when you're interacting with the people, when you're going for job, you're driving, you're doing your other duties and engagements of life which are halal and permissible, as long as you do it for the sake of Allah, qurbatan ilallah, and within the framework of halal, then all of these things will be also an ibadat and a zikr and remembrance of Allah. It does not collide with the concept of remembrance at all. And also then Imam alayhi salam says that فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَ بِكَسْرَةِ الذِّكْرِ. Allah commanded a lot of zikr, a lot of remembrance. وَاللَّهُ ذَاكِرٌ لِمَنْ ذَكَرَهُ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah is the one who remembers, the one who performs the zikr from the mu'mineen. Which means that anyone from the mu'mineen who remembers Allah, Allah remembers him. So every zakir is mazkur twice. This is not in the hadith that I am explaining to you. Every zakir is mazkur twice. So whenever you do the zikr of Allah, you must remember that before you get the tawfiq, an opportunity from Allah to do His zikr, Allah did your zikr. Allah remembered you. And because Allah remembered you, Allah gave you the tawfiq to do His zikr. So Allah remembered you ahead of you doing the zikr. Allah remembered you ahead of that. And then because of Allah's tawfiq, you did the zikr. And after you did the zikr, Allah does not forget you. Allah always rewards. So after you do zikr, Allah remembers you again. So every zakir is mazkur twice. That's what Islam teaches us. If you do one zikr of Allah, Allah did your zikr two times. Once before your zikr and once after your zikr. So every zakir in Islam is mazkur two times, is remembered by Allah two times. وَاللَّهُ ذَاكِرٌ لِمَنْ ذَكَرَهُ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ لَمْ يَذْكُرْهُ أَحَدٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِهِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِلَّا ذُكِرَ بِخَيْرٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whenever one of the mu'min servants remembers him, Allah remembers with khair, in other words. So this is a very interesting point, that whenever we do the zikr of Allah, we must understand that Allah is also remembering us. Also, Imam alayhi salam says that مَا مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا وَحَدٌ يَنْتَهِ إِلَيْهِ إِلَّا ذِكْرٌ. So basically we learned that everything of Islam has a limit, a had, and that's where it ends. So except the zikr, فَلَيْسَ لَهُ حَدٌ يُنْتَهَى إِلَيْهِ, except the zikr which has no limit mentioned. So you find فَرَضَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ الْفَرَائِضُ فَمَنْ أَدَّاهُنَّ فَهُوَ حَدُّهُنَّ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the fara'id, on us, whoever delivers those fara'id, this is the had of the fara'id. وَشَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ فَمَنْ سَامَهُ فَهُوَ حَدُّهُ. Month of Ramadan, whoever fasts, this is the had of that. So basically, fasting is clearly defined. You have to do fasting for 1 month in the year only, not more than that. That's not wajib in Islam. You have to pray 5 times a day, isn't that right? Or the rest of the Salatul Ayat or Salatul Qadha or those kinds of, wajib prayers only. So those are fixed prayers, nothing more than that. Likewise, Hajj is wajib once in the life, if you can afford it, it's fixed. So every ibadat has a fixed qums, has a fixed time. When you give the qums, how much you have to pay, 20% of the savings. Zakat has a nisab, and if you have this much, then you fulfill the nisab, then you have to pay zakat. So every ibadat has a fixed amount to perform, except the zikr, where find Allah Azza wa Jal lam yafrid minhu, لَمْ يَرْضَ مِنْهُ بِالْقَلِيلِ وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْهُ حَدًّا يُنْتَهَى إِلَيْهِ. Allah did not agree with the zikr, with less zikr, and Allah did not fix a fixed amount, in other words, for the zikr. And then Imam Sadiq alayhi salam recited this ayat, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اُذْكُرُ اللَّهَ ذِكْرًا كَثِيرًا. O you who believe, remember Allah a lot. So this is not fixed, it's not decided how much you have to remember Allah. Then somebody came and asked Imam Sadiq alayhi salam that if I do the tasbih of Hazrat Zahra sallallahu alayha, if we perform the tasbih after every prayer, is this counted to be zikran kaseer, zikran kaseeran, that Allah mentioned in the Holy Quran that you have to, O you who believe, remember Allah a lot? And Imam said yes. So tasbih of Hazrat Zahra sallallahu alayha is considered to be a lot of zikr and zikr and kathir of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this the zikr of lisan is also important, but it is a muqaddima for the zikr on qalbi. See, look at the hadith from Rasulullah. That's also in Wasa'il al-Shi'a, volume 4, where he says, "Man u'tiya lisanan dhakiran, faqad u'tiya khair ad-dunya wal akhirah." Whoever has been given a tongue that remembers Allah. Prophet says, whoever has been given a tongue that remembers Allah, a lisan that remembers Allah, has been given the khair of dunya and akhirah. So the entire khair of dunya and akhirat is given to a person who always remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his tongue. So this is also a very important thing, that somebody always remembers Allah through his tongue. And and in the wasiyat that Prophet did towards Abu Dharr, Prophet had a lot of wasaya. It's a beautiful lessons, full of lessons for us if we turn to the wasaya, the wasiyats and the advices Prophet had given to Abu Dharr in one of those wasaya, Prophet said to him, "Alayka bi tilawatil Quran." That means do the tilawat of Quran. That means and wa zikrullahi kathira, and remembering Allah a lot. Fa innahu zikrun laka fis samaa wa nurun laka fil ard. Because remembering Allah, tilawat of Quran, and remembering do tilawat of Quran and remembering of Allah a lot, because that is your remembrance in the heaven and nur for you in earth. So if anybody remembers Allah, it is going to, his remembrance will be there in the heaven, and it will provide nur in this earth. And also there is another hadith from Rasulullah where he has said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, that badiru ila riyad al jannah, take sabqat and lead towards the gardens of paradise. And somebody asked Rasulullah, faqalu ma riyad al jannah, what are the gardens of paradise? Prophet replied, halaqa zikr, that means the gatherings where Allah is remembered, where there is zikr taking place. If we go and participate in any gathering where there is zikr and remembrance of Allah taking place, these gatherings are considered to be the gardens of paradise. Any place where you find some of the mu'mineen are gathered and they talk about the, you know, Rasul wa Ahlul Bayt alayhi wa salatu wa salam. Then the Prophet say in his hadith that zikru aliyyin ibadatun, that means remembering Ali is ibadat. So any gathering where you find there are some mu'mins present and they are talking about Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam, you know, any gathering where they are talking about the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, these are gardens of paradise. They are riyabul jannah. This is not an ordinary situation. We should strive to go and participate in places where Allah and His awliya and beloved personalities are mentioned, whose zikr is considered to be musawi and equal in its value to the zikr of Allah. Man zakarakum faqad zakar Allah azza wa jalla. Isn't that right? Whoever remembers you has remembered Allah. So we find, if you remember, I was informing you on that Thursday the story of Tha'laba, who was broken away from the zikr and remembrance of Allah. The reason why Tha'laba ended up in his situation, what he ended up with, is because of his ghaflat. Ghaflat is the opposite of zikr. Zikr means remembrance, and the ghafil person who gets broken from the remembrance of Allah. So ghaflat is the halakat, halak is the destruction of the spirituality of a person if he becomes a ghafil. So Tha'laba was a resident of Medina, and he came to the Holy Prophet and said to him that, please pray Allah increases in my money. Prophet advised him there, in other words, which I am paraphrasing this long hadith in my own words, don't you want to follow my sunnah? Obviously the sunnah of Rasulullah is a very simple life. So Prophet is trying to turn him away from his demand. He is asking the Prophet to pray to Allah to give him more money. Prophet is turning him away in the sense that he should better follow the sunnah of Rasulullah. He went away, and this happened several times. He came several times, one after the other, insisting to the Prophet that pray to Allah, Allah give me more money. Maal ad-dunya, maal. Finally, Prophet prayed to Allah give barakah. And when Prophet prayed, obviously when he went back, he found that he had some goat, you know, in his house, and they had babies and stuff, and his goat and, you know, have for sheep, you know, got increased in numbers. Now that it got increased, obviously the place where he used to live in Medina is now falling short. So he cannot accommodate all the goat and sheep in such a small place. So he had to move outside of the city of Medina, because now this small place is short. It does not accommodate all the goat and sheep. He left his place, his home in Medina, and he moved outside in the city of Medina, got a bigger place for sheep and goat, and now he has a lot of sheep and goat. So earlier he used to come on every prayers to pray in Jama'at behind Rasulullah, Fajr with Jama'at, Zuhrain with Jama'at, Maghribain with Jama'at. Now when he went outside Medina, he only used to show up for Zuhrain prayers only. Fajr he used to pray for Adha, Maghribain he used to pray for Adha. So the goat and sheep are still increasing and increasing and increasing. This is a dua of Rasulullah. So finally he had a lot, so he could not even accommodate in that place. He moved to a bigger place somewhere in the desert, away from the city of Medina. So now he could not even show up for the Zuhrain prayers. He used to show up for once in the week only to pray behind Rasulullah and benefit from his nur and his presence. Once in a week. Obviously, when you have so many goat and the place is short, you have to move to a bigger place, and a bigger place is not available here. You make a new place somewhere far away from the city of Medina in the desert. This is how Malud Dunya is, you know. Dunya, you know, see, Dunya and Akhirat, Sabilane Mutafawetane, Walmashi Bainama Kullama Karuba Min Wahid Ba'uda Min Al Akhar. Dunya and Akhirat are two opposite poles, two opposite paths. Anybody who is walking in this, in between them, anybody who goes closer to one has to get far away from the other. If you want to get close to Dunya, you must understand you are getting far away from Akhirat. If you are getting closer to Akhirat, you are going to spoil your Dunya. So forget about taking Dunya and Akhirat both. It's not going to happen. Because these are two different poles. It can never happen. So forget about securing dunya as well. Whatever amount Allah has written in His qada and qadr from dunya, that is going to reach you. That's it. Nothing more than that. If you go for more, that will be at the cost of spoiling the akhirah. So now we find that Sa'alaba moved to the desert. And finally, the verse of Holy Quran was revealed about taking sadaqah and zakat from the mu'mins. Not that the ayat came on Rasulullah, so to take the zakat from the mu'mineen, so in other words, so Prophet sent, got two people, you know, one from Bani Sadim, one from Jahani person. Two people were selected by Rasulullah. Prophet taught them the ahkam of zakat and asked them to go and collect zakat. These people went to collect zakat from one from Sa'laba, living in the desert. He has a lot of goat and sheep now. He's a rich person, very rich. And one from a person who was from, you know, another tribe. So these two people went to Sa'laba and said, you know, the ayat of zakat has been revealed on Rasulullah, and this is the ayat. They have written the ayat on some paper or leaf or whatever, on something, and they showed that this ayat is revealed on Rasulullah. Rasulullah has sent both of us to collect zakat of your animals from you. He said, am I a kafir? Are you collecting a jizya? This is like a jizya. Jizya tax. We are not kafir, we are Muslims. Go away. Let me think further. Go and collect your zakat from other people. He turned them away, and these people went away to the other mu'min. He was also a rich person. He said that, well, if Rasulullah has sent you, then basically you people select the best of the camels that I have as zakat. They said, well, Prophet didn't ask us to choose ourselves. This is your fariza. You have to choose whatever zakat this is the amount of zakat you have to pay. Now you have to choose the animal yourself. You just give the zakat to us. That's it. We are not supposed to choose ourselves. He said, no, when I'm paying it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have to give the best of my maal to Allah. So he gave the best of his camels as zakat towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these people, again, after collecting from him, they went back to Sa'arawa. He said, he repeated the same statement, that this is like jizya. I'm not a kafir, in other words, I'm a Muslim. Why are we supposed to pay a jizya? And go and collect zakat from others whom you want to collect and come back later to me. They went away to the desert to collect from some other people, and after they came back again to Salaba for the third time. And he again refused. Third time he refused. And so basically they came back to Rasulullah and they informed him that this is how Salaba did. So Prophet, we find he basically said a sentence which is almost like similar to, you know, the halak or halakat or destruction for him twice. So we find then the second verse of Holy Quran was revealed, which is وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ عَهَدَ اللَّهَ لَإِنْ آتَانَا مِنْ فَضْلِهِ لَنَصَّ صَدَّقَنَّ وَلَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ فَلَمَّا آتَاهُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ بَخِلُوا بِهِ وَتَوَلَّوْا وَهُمْ مُعْرِضُونَ. So when these verses were, this was revealed on Rasulullah, which we learn in the light of this verse, that there are some people who do the ahad with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that if Allah gives us, you know, from his fadl, we will give sadaqah and we will be salih. But when Allah gives them from his fadl, they become bakhil and they become miser and they turn away, basically. So finally, when this verse was revealed, one of the people who were from the family members of Sa'labah, he heard the verse from Rasulullah. He went into the desert to inform his relative, Sa'labah, that, you know, this verse has been revealed about you. You are the sha'nul nuzul of this ayat of Quran. That Allah is condemning you. So Sa'labah got very upset when he heard that. So he came from the desert. He came to see Rasulullah and he said, okay, now I'm ready to give my zakat. And Prophet said, Allah has stopped me from accepting zakat from you. You called it jizya. Allah has, Prophet said once that Allah has commanded me not to accept zakat from you. And Prophet did not accept zakat from him. Remember, in Islam we have some of the ahkam which are mentioned in Quran, muqarin with each other. Ya ayyuhallazina amanu aqimus salata wa atuz zakat. Isn't it right? So iqamatus salat and ityanuz zakat, these two things are mentioned side by side, muqarin, in the Holy Quran. Isn't it right? And our mufassireen have mentioned that there is a hikmat why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning two things, muqarin, and next to each other in the Holy Quran. So our scholars say in the tafsir that salat of a person is kept under the arsh of Allah and not presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 1 year until the time of his zakat arrives. Khums and fitrah and zakat. Zakat is zakat in Islam, in Arabic, literally speaking, means taxes. It includes khums, it includes fitrah, all the wadi taxes. So for 1 year, your prayers are not presented to Allah. It is kept under the arsh until the time of your khums arrives. Now, if you pay your taxes, then your taxes will be taken by the angels and coupled with the, and combined with your salat, and salat and taxes are combinedly presented before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one is not accepted by Allah without the other. So aqimu salata wa aatu zakata. Likewise, our scholars say in the tafsir, Allah has said, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, ati'u allaha wa ati'u rasoola wa ulil amri minkum. Isn't that right? So ita'at of Allah and ita'at of Rasulullah and ita'at of Ulul Amr alayhimu salatu wassalam is mentioned next to each other, muqarin with each other. So our mufassireen say that there is no way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can accept the ita'at of Allah unless if a person is also muti' and obedient towards Rasulullah. And there is no way Allah can accept the ita'at towards Rasulullah unless and until a person is muti' towards the Ahlul Bayt and him. These ahkam are mentioned muqarin with each other, next to each other in the Holy Quran. There is a reason why they are next to each other. So basically, we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has... some people have this tama towards the dunya, and they think that basically they can combine the material interests with the ahdaf of akhirat, but these two can never be combined together. Now in the story we find of whenever the people see in the hadith, we find that in Allah awha ila dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah had sent his wahi on dunya, an tuzayyiqi wa tukaddiri, that you basically, in other words, you make yourself unpleasant and tough and hard for my beloved servants, and make yourself tusahili, and make yourself easy for my enemies. So Allah has commanded the dunya in its wahi. Allah performed his wahi to various things. Then the right Quran says, Allah says, your Lord sent his wahi on the honey bee. Allah sends his revelation on so many things. So Allah has sent the revelation on this dunya to make it easy for the enemies. So why you find some of the things of this dunya are easy for the enemies? Because Allah is not pleased that this dunya be given, because Allah is not pleased for this dunya to be a reward for a mu'min or a punishment for the kafir. Neither Allah is radi to consider this dunya as a reward for a mu'min, nor Allah is radi to make this dunya a punishment for the kafir. It's not eligible for none of those two things. If it was eligible to be of any value in the eyes of Allah, equal to a mosquito, Allah would not give it nothing to kuffar of this dunya. Whereas we find the kuffar have more dunya than the mu'mineen. Isn't that right? So some of it is obviously the mukafatul amal, partial aftermath of their amal. But some of it is basically whatever they get is the basically aftermath of their own amal. You know, whatever they do good, they are rewarded in this dunya. They do bad, they are facing the aftermath of their own amal in this dunya. But it's not considered to be neither a complete jaza nor a complete punishment of their amal in this dunya. The only place where we can darul jaza is akhirat, where completely the things can be rewarded and completely somebody can be punished on the is only akhirat. Somebody kills two human beings, you cannot kill him twice in this dunya. Isn't that right? So this dunya is not darul jaza. There is no way you can fully and completely reward a person for all the good deeds, and there is no way you can completely punish the person for all the bad deeds. That's the nature of the life of this dunya. So Allah did not consider it to be a place of rewarding, you know, positively or negatively. So The only place where we can be rewarded is Akhirat. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Ya Allah, 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 ya Allah. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين لا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرج مولانا.